Parshas Bo, this week's Parsha, of course, is a fascinating Parsha. It's hard to say that because every Parsha is extremely fascinating. But Parshas Bo in particular is a very critical and crucial Parsha. And the reason for that is because it brings us back to the very first Rashi on Chumash. What does Rashi say? Rashi says in the name of Reb Yitzchak, why does the Torah begin with Parshas Bereishis instead of beginning with Parshas Bo? Parshas Bo would be the most natural place to begin. Why? Because Parshas Bo is the first Parsha that actually has a mitzvah. In this week's Parsha, we have 20 mitzvahs that are mentioned. We have 9 mitzvahs asei, and we have 11 mitzvahs losa asei. And therefore, says Rashi, wouldn't it make sense if the Torah is a guidebook for our lives, if the Torah is the way that we're supposed to learn to live life, then we should just begin with Parshas Bo. There's no reason to have anything else leading up to this. Explains Rashi, the reason why is because Matam Pasach Bebereishis. Why does the Torah begin with the story of creation? Does the Torah need to teach us how to create a world? None of us are ever going to do that. None of us are ever going to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. So why do we need to know how He created the world? Says Rashi, Mishim Koach Maisav Higid La'amo. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to inform the Jewish people, Laseis Lahem Nachalas Goyim. Shim Yomru Umos Ha'olam LeYisrael Listim Atem. If, conceivably, there will come a time when the nations of the world will say that we have occupied a land that does not belong to us, that we have taken a piece of land that we are not deserving of being in, if that conceivably should happen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say to them, I am the one who created the world, and I have a right to decide who gets which land. And therefore, says Rashi, the Torah really should have started in Parshas Bo, but all of Sefer Bereishis is extremely important for us to understand and appreciate that we have a right, we have a absolute birthright to the land of Eretz Yisrael because HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that that is the way it should be. Finally, after all of this background of learning about the creation of the world and how everything evolved, we then come to the story of our Parsha, which is Geulas Yisrael. Finally, we come to the understanding of how Geula unfolds, and that's what I'd like to focus on because so many of us, even if we never prayed for Geula in our lives, even if we never took it so seriously, I would hope that everyone at this point understands how important a Geula is and how much we all look forward to it. We have so many difficulties every single day compounding different kinds of challenges that keep coming up. I actually appreciated so much. I don't know how many of you were here on Sunday, but one of the speakers on Sunday, I forgot who it was, mentioned Sabuni Chidvorim. He talked about when you are, like the Pasuk in Tehillim talks about being surrounded by bees. And David HaMelech describes his life as being surrounded by bees, which is a very strange description. If I were to say that I'm terrified because I'm surrounded by something, I would never have used bees as an example. And I was very taken by his interpretation, which I think has to be correct, that he said, I can't remember who said it, but who was it? Rabbi Fornlech from Beth Shalom. It was a tremendous insight, so simple but so beautiful. He said, when you have an enemy in front of you, you know how to attack the enemy back. You know how to respond. Maybe you do, maybe you don't, but you see what's in front of you. When you have a swarm of bees coming at you, you don't even know where to begin. You don't even know where to start. And it's kind of the way we all feel. Should we begin with fighting on social media? Should we begin by going to the UN? Should we be in Washington? Should we be in Albany? Should we contact our senators and congressmen? Should we go to Israel? Should we fight on the front line? Should we make a barbecue? Should we go be Menachem Avel by mothers who are losing their children? Should we make sure that in Ranana everyone is safe? What are we supposed to do? That's what it means, Sabuni Chidvorim. You have so many different enemies coming at you from so many different sides, you don't even know where to begin. You don't even know where to start to fend them off. And that is the description that David HaMelech gives. Well, in our Parsha, it talks about the Geula HaAsida. It talks about Geulas Yisrael, the Jewish people being redeemed from Mitzrayim after a terrible experience in Galus Mitzrayim. And that is why I would like to focus on it, because it very much is what impacts the story of our Geula, of our redemption as well. So let me just begin by reading you the words of the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Eidos, Perek Tes, Halacha Yud. I'm sorry, I didn't have a chance to put this together. This happened very, very, very late last night. So I didn't have a chance to put it on paper. It says the Rambam, Hamuvuhalim v'hanechpazim b'daitam. If you have people who are mivuhalim, you know what that means? Mivuhalim means people who are always in a frenzy, always rushing, everything's urgent. You know, sometimes people call on the phone and they have a question and they call many times in a row. And finally, when one is available to pick up the phone, you're wondering, what was this urgent question that my child was calling from school 10 times about? And the answer is, hi, I just wanted to let you know that I got a Band-Aid from the office. Or something that is not at all urgent, but they feel a sense of urgency. And we all have these experiences. Says the Rambam, a person who lives all of life always being mevuhalim, v'hanechpazim bedaitam, everything to them is urgent and we need to rush and we need to do it and we're always running. Harei elu b'chlal hashotim. Says the Rambam, this is not a wise person. It's good to live life in the methodical way, thinking things through, being careful, being deliberate. Of course, if you think too much, you're not going to ever do anything. But the Rambam says you should be balanced, you should be careful. You shouldn't just rush into things. I remember fondly Rabbi Palkovitz from the White Shul told me, I think probably my first week that I was there, he said, you know, you're young and young people have a lot of energy. And he said, the first thing in Avodas Hashem that you need to remember is that it says in Kriya Shema Va'avadatem Mehera, of course, the Psukim are not talking at all about his point, but he said there's a play on the words that many of the Hasidic Svarim have, that they say, Va'avadatem Mehera. The first step in Avodas Hashem is you have to get rid of that sense of always feeling everything is so urgent and we always need to rush. It's not always so smart to rush into everything. Take a moment, think about it. Don't always respond to every text right away. Don't respond to every email right away. Don't always be so reactionary. You have to slow down a little bit. And the Rambam says a person who lives life always being in a rush is somebody who is a little bit bechlal hashotim. The Archas Tzadikim, who speaks so much about human behavior, he writes, Afal pi shehazrizas tova meod. Of course, it's very good for a person to feel excited about what they're doing, for a person to be passionate. However, he says, Yizahar shelo yimara ba'avodaso yoser midai. You should be careful that you don't go into things too quickly. Ki haroche b'mehiros. He gives an example. If somebody is driving 150 miles an hour down Peninsula Boulevard, karuv hu me'od lehikasho, he will probably get in an accident. Now, he will also get to his destination much faster, and he will be very effective in getting to wherever he needs to get to, provided that he doesn't get into an accident along the way. But says the Archas Tzadikim, when you go too quickly, you make mistakes, and you hit people along the way, and you don't say things the way you should. Bechein mishehu ratz b'mehiros hu nofel. Sometimes you have a person who's running too fast, they'll trip on something. V'lo yitachin nesakin ma'isa bebehala. When you're doing something too quickly, and you don't think about it carefully enough, there are always going to be mistakes. And therefore, he writes, we all have to think very carefully and work very methodically, which is why the Mishnah writes in Pirkei Avos, heve mesunim badin. If you are a dayan, if you are a judge, and you have very serious matters that you need to tend to them very carefully. And you need to think slowly and thoroughly to make sure you understand exactly what it is that's in front of you and exactly the appropriate response. If that is the case, that we always say it is best to take our time, it is best to think things through, it is best to be calm and not feel a sense of urgency all the time, rushing and pushing and being aggressive, then we come to this week's Parsha when we talk about Geulas Mitzrayim and we wonder why there was such an emphasis on the urgency of getting out of Mitzrayim. How long were the Jewish people in Mitzrayim? How long were they there? Over 200 years. So they suffered a lot, and then they had some kind of relief when they had all the makos. And you'll say, how terrible is it if they will just wait another couple of hours to leave Mitzrayim? And yet the Torah emphasizes for us that we have this concept, we have this idea by Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we talk about it on Leil HaSeder as well, that we need to remind ourselves of the chipazon, of the rush that the Jewish people were in to get out of Mitzrayim, not by their own decision, because that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them they must do. So we start with the pasuk, Shivas Yamim Matzos Tochelu. We all know that on Pesach we have a mitzvah to eat matzah. Ach, v'yomar rishon tashbisu sa'ar mi batechem. Ki chala ocha chametz, if you eat chametz, you will get kareis. And says the Sefer Achinoch, why is it that we eat matzah? We're all familiar with the reason. Sefer Achinoch says the reason why is because we have to remind ourselves of what happened when the Jewish people came out of Mitzrayim. And what does it say there? It says, shemitoch chipazon ha'yitzia afinu ha'isa matzah. Because we were in such a hurry, we didn't have time to bake bread. Everybody knows how long it takes to bake a loaf of bread. We didn't have that time. We were in a rush. Why were you in such a rush? Don't we know that this is not an effective human behavior? aren't you concerned that maybe we weren't going to be able to pack up our things properly, or maybe our children would get hurt along the way if we were rushing out, or maybe the elderly members of our community were not going to be able to run out like everyone else? Why not just slow down, everyone? 18 minutes for the matzah, that's all you have? Let everybody have an hour to prepare some loaves of bread to bring for the trip. So why do we have this concept and this focus on chippazim? In the Haggadah Shal Pesach, we say the same thing. Matzah zu shanu ochlim al shum ma. Why do we eat the matzah? Al shum shalo hispik b'tzeikam shal avoseinu lahachmitz. Because the Jewish people did not have enough time, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to them immediately, urgently, and he said, get out of Mitzrayim, there's no more waiting. Lo yachlu lehismamea. We cannot wait any longer. It's time to leave immediately. Why? Why? And then we're told by Karban Pesach as well. Everybody had to sit there. I don't know, when I sit down to a nice meal, I like to be comfortable. It drives my father crazy that I don't wear a jacket at the Shabbos meal. My father's very careful. In our house, he always wore a jacket and his tie and his hat the entire Shabbos meal. I like to be comfortable at a Shabbos table. And he said Rav Soloveitchik was so serious about this that if you're not going to wear Shabbos clothing, it's not a Shabbos meal, it's not whatever. I don't know, I don't get into pajamas, but I do like to be comfortable. So I know it drives him crazy, and I ask him mechila in abstentia. But I like to be comfortable. I don't know about anyone else. I like to be comfortable. So how did they eat the Karban Pesach? How did they eat the Karban Pesach? V'kacha tochlu. This is how you need to eat the Karban Pesach. Masneichem chagurim na'aleichem beragleichem umakelchem biyedchem. So you're sitting around a beautiful table eating your Karban Pesach with your entire family. And you have to wear your winter coat with your walking stick, with your boots, ready to burst out the door the second you're told to do so. That's not a comfortable way to feel Zman Cheruseinu. This is not a way to encourage me to feel that I am free. This is telling me that I have to be concerned that maybe I'm not going to run out quickly enough. So why was there such a focus on this concept of chippazim? Not only that, fast forward a couple of months, we're just in the beginning of Chodesh Shvat, after that comes Chodesh Adar, and then we're going to celebrate Purim in Adar Sheni. If you look through the Megillas Esther, you'll find there is also this emphasis on doing things quickly. In the Megillah it says, Vayomer Hamelach Maru es Haman, Vayomer Hamelach Lahaman Maher Kachas Alevush. O Damidaber Mimo Vayav Hilulav Yes Haman. Why is everybody in such a rush? You're the king of the world. You're Achashveirosh. Why is the Melech saying, rush and do this and do this immediately and do this right now? Why? What are you so afraid of? Calm down. If you don't get Haman to come today, he'll come tonight. He'll come tomorrow morning. Why does everything have to be so quickly? And then when they parade Mordechai through the streets, we are told again, quickly, go get Mordechai, get him all dressed, put him on the horse. So what's the problem if the parade will be tomorrow? So what is this emphasis that we find, both by Yetzias Mitzrayim, and once again, by the Jewish people who were redeemed from the story of Purim, from the clutches of Achashverosh and Haman? The answer to this is given by the Maharal. Maharal Miprag explains so beautifully that the answer is, when things happen so quickly, like Geulas Yisrael from Mitzrayim, it highlights and it emphasizes for us, it features the power and the supremacy and the capacity of the Ribono Shel Olam. Say, for example, I want to build a house. You just built a house? You just did construction on a house. How long does it take you to do the construction start to finish? So, the first thing you need to do is, I didn't mean anyone here. You also did construction. So the first thing you need to do is hire a contractor. Once you hire the contractor, well, it's not so simple. What's the contractor going to build? So before that, you first need to have plans. Who's going to do those plans? An architect. So you first need to find an architect. They draw up the plans. Oh, I don't like this. I don't like that. Correct? Happens sometimes. And then, I don't like the architect. Let me get a different one. And then I hire a contractor, but I don't like the contractor. So let me fire this one, get another one. And then the contractor has to hire all the other people involved, and the plumber needs to come, and we need to work it out. When is this one going to show up? When is that one? But they can only come after the other one finish his job and their job. It's very complicated. And how long does it take to finally finish all the construction, even when you're doing something as basic as one can ever imagine? Inside of your house that's already built, we don't have to build new foundations. All you need to do is fix up a room. Not so simple, because the painter has to come after they do the floors, before they do the floors. I don't even know how this works. I'm spinning from all of it. So what do? It takes a long time. Why does it take a long time? Because human beings have to do things in stages. They have to formulate a plan. They need to figure out exactly how they're going to do it. They need to organize their thoughts. They need to organize everything that needs to go in a certain and specific order in order to have the product and the outcome that they look forward to. When we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do we say in our davening every single day in Baruch She'amar? Baruch Omer Ve'oseh. What does that mean? Ba'asar Ma'amaros Nivra Olam. What does that mean? It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu said there should be plants in the world, and guess what? There were plants. It didn't need a plan, and it didn't need time, and it didn't need to be organized, and he didn't have to figure out, how am I going to do this, and is it going to get in the way of anyone else? If the Ribono Shel Olam says this is what it should be, then that is what it will be, and it doesn't take time for it to play out. The Ribono Shel Olam is not like human beings. The Ribono Shel Olam has the capacity and has the ability to make things happen the moment he wants them to happen. This highlights the great power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chipazo. I'm going to show you. If you were to map out your own redemption from Mitzrayim, you would have to have a massive plan. Do you know how much planning went into the rally in Washington? And how many people were there? Let's overestimate. 350,000 people, let's say. 400,000 people, which probably there weren't, I have no idea. But that's it. You know how many weeks of planning that took with so many different agencies with figuring out how are we going to be secure and what are we going to do and how are all the buses going to get there and where they're going to park and how are people going to walk from the place where they park their buses to the place where the rally is and who's going to sit in this section and who's going to stand behind there and who's going to speak and who's not going to speak and which senators and congressmen are we going to invite and how are we going to get the parliaments to actually be there? Can you imagine trying to mobilize an entire Jewish people, a couple of million people? Not 350,000, a few million people, not just a few million people, a few million oppressed Jews who have been enslaved for hundreds of years, to try to encourage them that en masse we're all going to leave Egypt at the same time, millions of us, and somehow it's just going to go seamlessly. You know how many years that would take to plan? Fine, wouldn't take years. Maybe it would take many, many months of planning. And you need to have chaverim and yedidim and all of the hatzalah members, and everyone has to be there to figure out how we're going to get everyone to where they need to be and make sure everyone stays where they should be. It's impossible. It's a logistical nightmare. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't worry. B'chipazo. The moment I say it's time to leave, we're out of here. And I don't need time to plan this, and I don't need time to make it go into effect. The moment HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you're free, you are free, and that's it. Says the Maharal, that is why there's an emphasis on chipazon, to try to once again highlight the supreme power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the capacity of the Ribono Shel Olam, that he doesn't need time to make this play out. Baruch Omer Ve'oseh, if the Ribono Shel Olam says it's time to be free, guess what? You're going to be free. And there's nothing else that's necessary for that process to unfold. There's a pasuk in the Navi Malachi. Hineni sholeach Malachi, ufana derach lefanai. He's describing the moment of Geula in future generations. What is that moment going to look like? My son just asked me this week. He's 7 years old. He asked me, what's going to happen? Rebbe was telling us about Mashiach. How are we going to pack everything up? It's a good question. I have no idea. I don't know. I would hope we're not going to care enough to pack every single thing. We're going to be more excited about that when we are about all the other things here. I don't know. What does it mean when it says, V'asah eschem al kanfei nisharim? I don't know. I'm not exactly sure. Like the Rambam says, when we get there, we'll all appreciate and we'll all understand. So the Navi here gives us a glimpse, and the Navi says, here's what's going to happen. What's that moment of Geula going to look like? Not everything that leads up to it. The moment of Geula. Says the Navi Malachi, Hineni Sholeach Malachi, I'm going to send a Malach, a messenger. Ufana Derech Lefanai, and he's going to clear out a path. Upis Om Yavo Alechalo. And suddenly, unexpectedly, very abruptly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just going to show up in the Beis HaMikdash. Elechalo. Asher Atem Mevakshim. This is what you've been asking for, correct? You've been asking to come back to Yerushalayim to have a Beis HaMikdash. You know what's going to happen? All of a sudden, in one moment, the Ribbono Shel Olam is just going to show up in the Beis HaMikdash, and that's going to be that. Amazing. Says the Medrash on that Pasuk. And I appreciate this Medrash so much because I feel it is my voice or many of our voices talking here. Be honest. Be honest. Mipnei sheYisrael ba'osa hadar omrim. Because the Jews in the time of the redemption and the galus that are ready to have the geula, they're all going to be saying, Efsher olog kiminhago noeg v'yesh geula b'shana zu? Can we possibly have a redemption? Can we possibly have a geula when this is the world we're inhabiting? You look to the right, you look to the left, like we said, Sabuni Chidvorim. You have Iran, and you have now The Hague, and you have the International Court of Justice is putting the most moral army on trial, and you have Hezbollah on the north, and you have Hamas in the south, and you have the Houthis, whoever heard of these people, coming out of nowhere, and you have warships, and you have Iran proxies, and everywhere you turn, it's upside down, and then you have the corruption here in the United States, and who's going to run for president? Is there anybody that's not under investigation? Anyone? And you look around and you see the social and political and spiritual disasters all over the world, especially in the United States, and you ask yourself, how many more school shootings are there going to be until we wake up and realize maybe there should be some gun control? And how many more things have to go wrong for us to realize that North Korea and South Korea really is a major problem, and that Russia and Ukraine should be probably taken care of at some point, and we should stop kowtowing to Russia and allowing them to do whatever they want? He's a tyrant. He's a dictator. He's a murderer. This is the world we live in, and you're telling me Mashiach's just going to come, and that's going to be the end of it. That simple. Really? I don't know about you. This Medrash asked the question that I ask myself, and I'm too embarrassed to say out loud. So that's why I appreciate it. Because the Medrash says, we are all going to ask, Yisrael Shabaosa Hadar Omrim, Efshar Olam Kiminhago Noeg, what do you want from me? We should daven every day, Achakelo B'chol Yom Shiyavo, Es Tzemach David Avdecha, I'm looking forward to Mashiach. Even Mashiach can't figure out these problems. Come on. What's Mashiach going to do? What's he going to do? What's going to happen? You ever ask yourself this? Someone be honest with me. You ever wonder? Says the Medrash, the answer to that question that all of us have is, Pis'om yavo aleichalo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come very abruptly, very unexpectedly, and the same way we had Chipazon by Yitzias Mitzrayim, we are going to see the same phenomenon as well by Geulas Yisrael HaAsida. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't have any restrictions. He doesn't have any problem that is insurmountable. He doesn't have any issue or challenge that is too hard for him to deal with. He's the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's the Melech Malchei Hamlachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He can take care of the problem. And he doesn't need time to make it work. He can make it work however and whenever he wants. That is the story of Geula. And that, says the Navi, is what we have to look forward to. The Chafetz Chaim was, of course, a great leader of the Jewish people. But aside from being a great leader and a great prolific author, he wrote the Mishneh Berurah, he wrote the Shmiras HaLashon, he wrote so many other Svarim that are so important to every Jewish library. The Chafetz Chaim focused very much on the coming of Mashiach. It is well known that the Chafetz Chaim did not have furniture in his home because he said, when you go to a hotel, do you order furniture to your room? No, whatever is there is what you use. Why do you not order furniture? Because I'm only here for a day or two. I'm only here for a week. So what, I'm going to order couches and pillows and blankets? It doesn't make sense. Whatever they give me is what I have. Said the Chafetz Chaim, if I believe, Achakelo b'chol yom sheyavo, if I believe Mashiach is actually around the corner, then why would I order furniture? It's just going to go to waste. I'm not going to be in Radin for a long time. But he really lived that way. He believed it. I once read a letter. There's a small book that came out, somebody gave me in Hebrew. Different letters of the Chafetz Chaim. And the Chafetz Chaim writes a letter. It was put together by the Walken family. They live in Far Rockaway. Their great-grandfather was a Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim, had a lot of correspondence with him, so they collected a lot of the correspondence. I don't know if it was with him or with others, and they put it in a book. So I read the letters, and one of the letters stuck out at me. They're all beautiful, but one of them really stuck out at me. Chafetz Chaim describes how he was so pained, how he was so distressed, because one day, two balabatim, two businessmen in his community, came to talk to him about a problem they were having. What was the problem? They were going into a new business venture. They were opening up a store. And they decided they wanted to do everything the right way. They didn't want to leave anything for ambiguity. They didn't want to have any machlokas down the line. And the more clear we are with each other about the terms of this business, the more we're going to save ourselves from any potential problem down the line. So what they do, they drew up a contract that had every possible stipulation that one can ever imagine. They drew up a contract, which is smart. They drew up a contract that said, what happens if the merchandise gets ruined? Who's going to suffer the loss? And what happens if there's a flood? And what happens if one day the roof caves in and then we have to do construction on the roof again? And what happens if somebody comes and steals the merchandise? And what happens if you forgot to lock the store at night or I forgot to lock the store? And what happens if your wife dies or if my wife dies or if I die or if you die or if my children? Every conceivable possibility or impossibility was in the contract. After they finished drawing, and they did it with great harmony. They just wanted to be very clear with each other. After they finished drawing up all of the different stipulations, all the different possibilities, they went to the Chafetz Chaim to review the contract. They wanted to know, does the Torah think that it's reasonable what we drew up here? Chafetz Chaim is reading through it and he began to cry. And he said, I don't understand. You've come up with every other potential situation that one can ever imagine in life. Why didn't it dawn upon you? What happens if Mashiach comes and we're no longer going to be living in this town and nobody's going to come to the store, we're going to have to leave it and go to Eretz Yisrael? Is that less of a possibility than your wife dying? Than the store having an avalanche? Than people stealing from you? Than you dying? Is it less of a realistic possibility in your mind that Mashiach is actually going to come? Is that why you didn't include it? How can two Jews have a contract where they don't include that stipulation? I once mentioned this in the shiur, and I got a number of emails from people, and I was so touched. I was touched to hear that there's actually a few people in the world who listen to what I say, which amazed me. But I got, even more touching was, that you're willing to take the time and send me an email that was valuable. So a few people sent me emails that they have apartments in Eretz Yisrael that they lease out to others. And in the contract it says, if Mashiach should come, you have 2 months to get out of the apartment, and we are coming back. Apparently that is done in Israel. I wasn't aware of it, but I was so touched to hear it. I don't know if it comes from the Chafetz Chaim or this is just standard. There were a number of people who sent me these emails. You're on a long-term lease. You can use the apartment. It's all good. If Mashiach shows up, you have X amount of time to find yourself another place to live. That's amazing. That's the way a Jew lives. So writes the Chafetz Chaim. Al yitame ha'adam. Don't wonder. How can we actually believe that there's going to be a redemption? We are finding ourselves in the most painful, agonizing suffering that one can ever live through. Anybody who was here, Matzai Shabbos, got to hear the awful words of the members of Zaka. I wish they didn't have to share them. They do have to share them. Because we all need to understand, but it's terrible. And they're only one perspective. I sent my parents last week to go to Shura, which is the Rabbanut HaTzvait, where they do all the body identification. Go there and listen to their stories. You think Zaka is bad? Go there and hear the stories from young Rabbanim Tzvaim, who their job normally is to come into work and kasher a kitchen before Pesach, and yet they were thrust into this position of having to identify body parts and to deal with mutilated bodies and prepare them for burial. We are living in the worst of times. And then yesterday when you thought that the problem is in the north and the problem is in the south and at least we have Chayalim taking care of it, and it's terrible that we wake up every day that the IDF is sorry to announce the passing of this one or the other hero or the other person who died al Kiddush Hashem. Now we have a woman in Ra'anana walking down the street who gets mauled over by a car. and 20 people are critically injured. And my sister told me yesterday, she lives in Rehovot, they caught a number of terrorists who were on their way in Rehovot in the middle of the street. It was all over the news there. They're not carrying it here, but it was there. So now in the cities themselves, we're not talking about on the borders. We're not talking about Hezbollah in the north. We're not talking about the Houthis in the south or Hamas, wherever they are. Underneath, I guess. We're talking about everywhere. How is there going to be a Geula? Says the Chafetz Chaim. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, Eitzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo shayach zeh. In the eyes of the Ribono Shel Olam, this is not a problem. Sheyesh etzlo kama minei pidyon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many options and many venues for how he can make a Geula unfold. And if you look through all the pages of Chumash and the Nevi'im, the Chafetz Chaim then goes through to say that the Ribono Shel Olam has different ways in which he brings about a Geula. Would anyone imagine that the walls of Yericho are just going to cave in and fall down? I mean, who would have ever anticipated that? The Ribono Shel Olam decided, we have to get into Yericho. I'm not going to make them fight. This is what's going to happen. Is that the only way that Geula happened? No. Keep reading through Tanakh and you'll see. Each one has its own story. And the Ribono Shel Olam made all of them happen in the way that he wants them to unfold. Says the Chafetz Chaim, don't worry so much. Don't worry about this question that bothers so many. How is the Geula actually going to happen? The Ribono Shel Olam has his ways. Just take one day and read through different stories in the Nevi'im and you'll see the Ribono Shel Olam has his ways. And he's done it in the past and he will do it once again. Chafetz Chaim writes once again in a different sefer, Al yifla be'enei ha'adam lachshov. Maybe somebody will think, Ech yachol liyo sha'anachnu uma Yisraelis. How is it possible that we, the Jewish people, Asher ka'eis heim ha'shvelim v'hamavuzim le'enei ha'kol, that right now we are the laughing stock of the world. Chafetz Chaim is writing this in the 1920s. We are now the laughing stock of the world. You claimed you had such a great intelligence. The Mossad and the Shabak and a security fence, $1 billion fence. You haven't even found a single hostage yet. It's been 102 days. You haven't killed the senior members of Hamas. You're being held on trial for war crimes. You're the laughingstock of the world, says the Chafetz Chaim, 100 years ago. How is it possible that that nation that is now being held in international criminal court and is the laughingstock of the world, how is it possible that those same people, Yisromamu la'os u'leteferes le'enei ha'kol, how is it conceivable that that same nation will be raised and elevated for everyone to celebrate? Writes the Chafetz Chaim, three words. Hayipalei me'Hashem devar. Does the Ribono Shel Olam have a shortage of ways that he can take care of our problems? He then brings us on a journey throughout Chumash. And he says, Masai holed Avram es Yitzchak beno. When did Avram Avinu give birth to his son Yitzchak? Kishahaya ben Kuf, when he was 100 years old, Shebetivo az lios eitz yavesh, I ask you, did you ever hear of a 100-year-old having a child? I hope not. There is no such reality. Not only have we never heard of a 100-year-old having a child, we've also never heard of a person who struggled with infertility for so many years finally have a child. At some point, the doctors and all the professionals say, we've tried everything. There's nothing more to do. Either adopt or surrogacy, whatever it's going to be. This is not happening for you. Just admit to the reality. You're not going to be able to have a child. It's just impossible. It's a painful thing for a couple to hear. It's devastating. But have you ever heard of someone 100 years old, after years and years of infertility, suddenly has a child? Masai zacha Yosef lemelucha. Think about it. When did Yosef rise up to become the leader of the most powerful nation in the world? That was only after he was in a pit. He was in the abyss, under a tunnel, right? We're talking about people who are in tunnels for 100 days. Talk about Yosef, who was in the jail, in a pit by himself for 12 years. At what point does a person give up and say, okay, I've resigned to my fate. I'm just going to die here in jail. Year 5? Year 6? I assume he was being tormented by the others. We know what happens in jails. In the best of cases, we know what happens in jails. Imagine what the conditions were there. And from that abyss, from that lowest place in his life, Me'ashpos Yoram Evyon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only saves him, but makes him the Melech Al Kol Ha'aretz, makes him the leader of the entire world. Mitzrayim was the superpower of the world. When did Yaakov have 12 Shvatim? Says the Chafetz Chaim. And when did Yaakov Avinu have the ability to fight with a malach and overcome that malach? That was after Eliphaz came, Veratza Lahargo. That was after he was terrorized, after he was threatened. That was after he lost everything that he had. Yaakov Avinu says, "Bemakli avarti es hayarden hazeh." I was completely destitute. I was impoverished. I had nothing. He goes to the house of Laban. He is tricked a million times. He's given the wrong wife. You can deal with the biggest thief in the world. Have you ever heard of a person in the world who showed up to his wedding and married the wrong person? This is Yaakov Avinu's life. And from that depth of despair is where the Yud Bei Shivtei Ka emerge from, where all the unbelievable success and the journey of the Jewish people begins. Mihaya Mechake, Be'eshara Yaakov Yosef Bimei Dalusa. Whoever would have projected, whoever would have fantasized, it's a hallucination, looking at Yosef in the pit in year 11 and asking yourself, what is ever going to become of this person? Looking at Yaakov Avinu stripped of everything he has, everything he ever had in his life, being tricked a million times, whoever would have envisioned that Yaakov Avinu would have any success. But says the Chafetz Chaim, we see how this works. And in Cain, if that is the case, if you're a careful studier of Chumash, Af anu lo nesiyayish chas v'shalom. You're down. You're depressed. You feel really upset about the news that you read or that you live every single day. Says the Chafetz Chaim, yes, it is very discouraging and it is extremely disheartening. But don't surrender. Don't ever despair. Don't ever feel hopeless. Because just look through Jewish history and see. Me'ashpos yarim evyon. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us at every juncture of our history. The Yalkut Shimoni writes that the Geula is described as Ayelas HaShachar. Ayelas HaShachar means when the sun rises. Says the Yalkut Shimoni, the Medrash, when is the deepest darkness in the sky? It's not in the middle of the night, because in the middle of the night you have the moon and the stars are shining. It's right before the sun comes out. That is when the sky is the most dark, because the moon is already moving aside, the stars are no longer visible, and the sun is not yet out. Says the Medrash, that is when Geula comes. When you're in that greatest moment of choshech, when you're in that greatest moment of darkness. The Chafetz Chaim in another place writes, look at the very beginning of the story of creation. V'ha'aretz ha'isa sohu v'avo v'choshech ha'panei tehom. The world was empty. The world was a wild place. V'choshech, the ultimate feeling of darkness. And says the Chafetz Chaim, sometimes in our lives we feel the world is absolute choshech. And the world is tohom. The world is going to an abyss. The world is tohu vavo, means upside down. Do you not feel that way sometimes? The world is upside down. And says the Chafetz Chaim, how did all of that existence change in 1 second? Vayomer Elokim Yihyor. The very next words. You can have a world that is tohu vavo, a world that is choshech. And when does all of that go into place and change? The moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares, Yihi Or. And said the Chafetz Chaim, the same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu declared that, back then, by the creation of the world, got rid of all the darkness and all the pandemonium and all the upside down configuration of how the world was, by saying, Yihi Or. So too says the Chafetz Chaim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the capacity and will make sure to say, Vayihi Or, there will be light. And that is the way the Jewish people have experienced the journey of life throughout every moment and juncture of Jewish history. Now, all of this sounds really nice, I hope. If you remember where we started with talking about the fact that there's an emphasis on chipazon. There's an emphasis on things happening very quickly. Why? To show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the supreme capacity and capability to do whatever he wants as quickly as he wants. Omer ve'oseh, that's what happens. It sounds very nice until you come to the Mechilta de Rabbi Yishmael, where the Mechilta asks, Yachal af li'asid lavo yehe b'chipazon. You may think in the end of days when it comes time for the Geula ha'asida, you may think that that's also going to happen b'chipazon. Right? Says the Medrash, no. We have a pasuk in the Nabi Yeshaya that says the following, Ki lo b'chipazon teitzeyu. You're not going to come out of exile b'chipazon. Ki Hashem holeich lefneichem u'ma'asifchem elokei Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to gather you together, and this process is not going to be b'chipazon. Why? Asked the Maharal. Why is it by Galus Mitzrayim, all of a sudden HaKadosh Baruch Hu came b'chipazon? Why is it by Paro? I'm sorry, why is it by Achashverosh and Haman? We have Maharu, everything is quickly b'chipazon. And yet the Navi Yeshaya tells us, don't expect chipazon when it comes to the end of days. That's not going to be the reality. So why the contrast? Why should we not have chipazon? And there are many, many interpretations that are given. Rashi and the Malbim give one. There on the Navi Yeshaya, Maharal gives his own interpretation. Many, many Mefarshim explain. One of the Perushim that the Maharal explains here is that there's a major difference between Geulas Mitzrayim and the Geula of the Jewish people. I grew up in a family where my father believed and continues to believe. Now, not everyone agrees. He believes that all that we're experiencing over the last 75 years is Aschalta de Geula. This is all steps toward the redemption. Now, how far back do you go? I don't know. But everything that we're experiencing is Aschalta de Geula. Of course, there are many communities across the Jewish world who don't agree with that. But this is the way I was raised. That all that we see now is part of the process of redemption. Why such a drawn-out process? That's what it means. Ki lo b'chipazon teitzeyu. Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu declare a state and the next day build a Beis HaMikdash? And the Maharal explains. There was a major change that happened, a major transformation that took place from the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim to where we are today. By Yetzias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Biyad chazaka v'zroa netuya, ani v'lo malach, ani v'lo shaliach. I will do everything myself. I don't need any assistance. I don't need any messengers. I don't need any agents. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'atzma. Biyad chazaka v'zroa netuya." And that was highlighted in the fact that everything was b'chipazon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it from one second to the next. Now, by the Geula HaAsida, the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us the privilege to make the Geula happen. He's allowing us to allow the Geula to unfold. And there's a very heavy price to pay for that. There are a lot of lives lost because of that privilege. Not only now. Look how many lives have been lost over the years, fighting for our own redemption, fighting for our own geula. But says the Maharal, what a privilege what a gift that it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has handed over the process of Geula to the Jewish people and allowed them to activate it and allowed them to make it happen. I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but I've wondered. You don't like that. We'll talk after. I've wondered, how is it possible? We're fighting a war, and the IDF is sending soldiers out to the Hermon, and they don't have boots. How can that be? How can that be? So you'll say, they called up 350 chayalim from the reserves, and they weren't prepared. Which army is not prepared for a disaster? How could it be that there were chayalim going out who didn't have ceramic vests to have basic protection? Doesn't make sense. Anybody else wondering this? Why are we making collections for the most basic items that every soldier needs to have? Are they that incapable in Israel of putting this together? How can this be? I don't know. But my feeling is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the privilege to partner and have a real part in the story of our Geula. You live 6,000 miles away. You're not fighting on the front lines, and you don't have children who are volunteering to do dangerous things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're also going to have a part. What a privilege, what a blessing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the army is not going to be prepared. And guess what? The army of Jewish people all over the world are going to step in and fill all of those deficiencies. And yes, the chayalim won't have boots, and they won't have ceramic vests, and you're going to provide it for them. And yes, you're going to go deep into your pockets, and you're going to give whatever you possibly can. Because I want you to also be a part of your own redemption. Of course, we're not the same. Of course, we're not sacrificing our lives, and we don't compare to those who are and those families who are giving the greatest of sacrifices. But the Ribono Shel Olam has turned to all of us and said, you can activate your own Geula. You can make it happen. What a privilege. What a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What an understanding that the Ribono Shel Olam has turned to us and said, hold my hand, partner together with me, and allow us together to make the Geula happen. Says the Maharal, when that is the case, and when that happens, that takes time, because human beings are involved, and we have to build a government, and we have to build a country, and we have to build an army, and we have to build schools, and we have to build this infrastructure and a system, and Geula cannot just happen from one moment to the next when the Ribono Shel Olam is not doing everything alone. When he invites us to be a part of that process, when he allows us to come and participate with him, that takes time. The same way, like we said before, when you build a house, you can't just do it from one moment to the next. You have a lot of planning to do. When you build a country, when you build a nation, it takes a lot longer to do that properly. And yes, is there going to be corruption, and is there going to be problems with the judicial reforms? Yes, that's all part of the growing pains of a nation who's trying to find its place and define its essence. It all makes sense. Of course it makes sense. How many amendments have there been to the Constitution of the United States? Why? Because every couple of years, they realize, the lawmakers realize, something that we said 200 years ago doesn't make sense anymore, and we have to figure out how to deal with the new realities. Of course it makes sense. When you're making your own Geula happen, when you're allowing the process to unfold, when you're holding the hand of the Ribono Shel Olam, things take a little bit longer. And that is the process of our Geula. That is why the Navi Yeshaya says, "Ki lo b'chipazon teitzeu." This one will not be b'chipazon. At the moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, we're at the end and that's it, pis'om yavo le'chalo. That's going to happen from one second to the next. But till we get there, this process has been a protracted narrative. This has been a long story, a very painful and difficult story. But what a gift and what a privilege that we can be partners with the Ribono Shel Olam in making this story of our own Geula happen. There's a Gemara Maseches Sota, and I'll close with this. The Gemara says, a description of what the world is going to be like le'asid lavo in the days before the coming of Mashiach. So everything that the Gemara describes is an accurate portrayal of all that we're seeing in our world. So number one, says the Gemara, we're going to have a lawless and uncivil country. And we are going to have total chaos and disarray. Defund the police. You ever heard of such a thing? How can we have protests to defund the police? This is the most insane thing that can ever happen. How can you have a civilized country without a police force, without enforcement? This makes no sense. But that's our country. Wake up to the reality of where we are. We may be in a little bubble in the shtetl here. We don't see what's going on out there in the world. It's a crazy world we live in, my friends. It's totally upside down. Then the Gemara says, parents and children are going to have very difficult relationships because children will have no respect for their parents. So for all the parents in the room who agree with this sentiment, you'll talk about it later. But the Gemara says that children will be totally disparaging to their parents, a complete disdain and disrespect for their parents, a lack of regard for anything their parents say, and this is what we're seeing. Next, says the Gemara, the economy is going to be completely unpredictable. All the financial structures are going to be going up and going down. They're going to take a nosedive, they're going to plummet. One year it's going to be up, the next year it's going to be down. Look what's happening in our world. All those who were in real estate suddenly, you know, who are on top of the world suddenly are bereft of everything. All those who own buildings in Manhattan, look what's going on. Look what's happening in the stock market. Look what's happening everywhere. The economy is so unpredictable. Says the Gemara next, the leadership and the governance of all of our countries will be corrupt. And we will have dishonorable and fraudulent people running our countries. No more needs to be said. Says the Gemara, society and civilization will be completely twisted and contaminated. It will just degenerate to a point where everything is so crazy. I don't know about you, I scroll through the news once a day. Whether it's CNN or Fox or whatever you look at, the items that are on the news every day can make your head explode. Like, the things they choose to talk about are so incredibly insane. What is going on in our world is so insane. Where's this headed? I have no idea. I hope I know where it's headed. But says the Gemara, the bottom line of all of that, the Mishnah says, is now the simple understanding of that phrase is, we're going to be living in a world that is so chaotic, as we just described. We have nothing else to do other than to say, God, this is your problem. I don't know. At least we have you in the world. At least we can rely on you, because we can't rely on our government, we can't rely on the police, we can't rely on our parents. We can't rely on any of the things that used to be a given in our lives seem to be taken away from us. So, Ein lanu al mi lehishayin ela al avinu shebashamayim, says Reb Chaim Valozhiner, the greatest student of the Vilna Gaon. No, you misread the Gemara. The Gemara is going through a list of different items that are all going to be terrible, upside down in the days of the coming of Mashiach. And this one is going to be bad, and that's going to be bad. And you know what the worst curse of it all is going to be? When the Jewish people throw up their hands and say, Ein lanu al mi lehishayin ela al avinu shebashamayim, when the Jews throw up their hands and say, this world is so upside down, God, there is nothing I can do anymore to make the world a better place than it was before I got here, I give up. And this is your problem to fix, because there's nothing more that we can do collectively to help anyone or anything. That is the worst curse of it all, says the Reb Chaim Valozhiner. When the Jewish people feel they have no role to play, they have no part in their own redemption, in their own salvation, in their own prosperity, in their own positive future. That, says Reb Chaim Valozhiner, is the rock bottom of Jewish history. When Jews look around the world and say, everything we turn to is so crazy, is so unpredictable, there is nothing more that we can do to help ourselves, and God, we throw it into your hands. That is unacceptable. That, says Rav Chaim Belozner, is an unacceptable reality for us. Because the Ribono Shel Olam calls upon all of us. Ki lo b'chipazon teitzeu, says the Maharal. Why is it that the Navi describes that the Geula in the coming of Mashiach will not be b'chipazon like it was in the days of Geulas Mitzrayim? The answer is because by Geulas Mitzrayim it was b'yad chazak of Ezra Netuya. And Geulas Yisrael ha'asida is going to be with our participation. It's going to be in partnership, in concert with the Jewish people, giving of themselves, sacrificing of themselves, participating on their own, volunteering, doing everything to make sure that we bring about our redemption while holding the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as we do so. And while we read this Parsha, and we have a focus on the Chipazon aspect of what was in Geulas Mitzrayim, of course, there is something very special to Chipazon. Everything just happens, and you don't have to worry about anything. There is also something very special to appreciate about not being b'chipazon, that the Ribono Shel Olam entrusts us, that the Ribono Shel Olam has empowered us, that the Ribono Shel Olam believes in us to be the ones to bring about our ultimate redemption.